Arctic Star Exploration, operated by a team of proven mine finders, is focused on diamonds in Finland and the Northwest Territories of Canada. A work program is planned for our Finland property that contains diamond-bearing kimberlite. Arctic Star trades on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol ADD, and the Frankfurt Exchange, symbol 82A1. Please visit our website at arcticstar.ca or call us at 604-689-1799.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, Canada's first online financial news and research service, providing insider news and knowledge to investors. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Well, it's great to be back, Jim.
I just noticed Canadian Finance Minister Bill Morneau says his tax department is going after, quote, dead money, unquote, parked in small business. If you've saved up money to expand your business, is it just dead?
Well, why doesn't Bill Morneau go after some real live money that's flowing through Vancouver casinos and the real estate industry that's not being taxed? You know, this is all getting just a little much, this class warfare rhetoric from the tax fairness crowd, you know, who insist, you know, that doctors are cheating the system by, you know, organizing their affairs legally, you know, as under rules that are existing, and that it's really, you know, some rich entrepreneurs who are, you know, who are benefiting from this, and you know, it's just all getting a little much when, you know, right underneath their noses here in Vancouver, there's massive amounts of money that's not being taxed. You know, what I want to know, Jim, is where are the tax fairness advocates? Where are the professors? Where are the tax people, you know, who are wanting to clobber small business and the psychology behind small business, which is even a bigger impact, you know, with what's going on here? Where are they with all this money laundering that's going on? How come they're not out demanding that the federal government get this under control? Because it's much easier to go to conferences and talk about the little charts and graphs and throw out some spreadsheets. The fact of the matter is that if you're a small business person playing by the rules in Canada, you're a sitting duck for these academics and these tax collectors. And, you know, so you're easy pickings for them. But to go and chase down money laundering in a casino, that's really hard work. And, you know, to fix the tax system so that, you know, real estate flippers pay their fair share, you know, or what they're supposed to be paying. Never mind their fair share, just what they're supposed to be paying. Well, that's a lot of hard work. And, you know, so it's much easier to go after people who are, you know, actually filling out their tax forms, playing by the rules. You know, let's squeeze them a little bit more. You know, it's just getting a little much. And, you know, when this government, you know, started to roll this out, I don't think it knew it was getting itself into. It's doubling down. It's a big mistake. You know, we're already starting to see some polls showing the Conservative Party moving up. I know, there's only one that I've known so far that's shown that. But, you know, keep this up. And they're really risking a lot of political capital here that they don't need to do. I mean, why they're doing this is just beyond me. You know, they as we've said on this show time and time again, they got off to a great start, the new government. They they made some policy choices. Not I didn't agree with all of them, but they're working. But now they're going in this direction that they're going to undo all the good stuff that they've done. And, you know, they're at risk of losing the next election. It's really remarkable. And so, you know, I've had enough of Bill Morneau trying to justify his position. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's gotten himself hoodwinked by these tax collectors in the revenue department and a bunch of academics. And, you know, it's just not practical. Okay, you know, sure, there's abuses to the system. Some people have organized their affairs to avoid Bill Morneau's tax increase, from 2016. You know, that's life. That's the way it is. And when you try and raise taxes, people are going to try and get around them legally, and that's what people have been doing. So okay, try and fix that, but don't do a full frontal assault on small business culture in Canada when you're letting money laundering go right under your nose. I mean, let's have some priorities here. Let's get people who aren't playing by the rules. Let's deal with them first. You know, and then once you've dealt with them, then come back and say, okay, you know, we have to fix these problems over here in the small business sector, and take your time in doing it and do it right. But you know, anyway, that's the road that Bill Morneau and Justin Trudeau have decided to take, and it's going to cost them a lot in the Vancouver area, because we know, Jim, what's going on here. People, voters in Vancouver know what's going on. They know that small business is not the problem. They know that when it comes to tax fairness, it's not with small business. It's with money laundering and people who aren't declaring their income. That's where the problem is, and I'm afraid just about every Liberal MP in the Lower Mainland is going to lose their seat if the federal government doesn't do something about that and, you know, and gear down on small business and gear up on money laundering. But, you know, aside from that, I mean, it's you know, not hard for me certainly to get worked up on what the federal government's doing. You know, they did do a few things right when they got in, and the Canadian economy is benefiting from that right now, and the Canadian stock market is benefiting from that. So let's hope they refocus and keep the good momentum going, because, you know, until they brought in this July disaster consultation paper, you know, things were moving along pretty sweet here in Canada.
Well, too, the facts of the case, both in Canada and the U.S., small business is the vast majority supplier of jobs, over 70%. In Canada, roughly 1.7 million small business owners. Trudeau did not win by a landslide. Of course, he got a majority, but you look at the numbers, winning seats by 200 votes here, 400 votes there. I could see small shop owners just saying, if you're going to attack my future savings, I'm not going to vote for you. So there goes 1.7 million votes. Plus, when they said income sprinkling for farms, 5-year-old children were on the list. When I was 5 years old on the farm, I was picking potatoes. I remember well before going to school, I was employed pretty heartily weeding the garden and picking potatoes for the farm.
Well, I think they stopped the under 18 sprinkling, and I'm not a tax expert in terms of details, and this is the other problem with this proposal, is that if they go through, it's going to be just a field day for tax auditors, because they'll be able to go into every small business that's doing dividends and say, okay, well, who's getting the dividend? Okay, well, why is your wife getting the dividend, Jim? Oh, well, because, you know, she's doing the books. Oh, really? Well, how much, you know, what is she doing for the books? Like, well, how much is she doing? Well, we have to see if that's reasonable. Well, how much is she getting paid? You know, and so, you know, so you're going to have tax auditors interviewing and going through with a fine-tooth comb all these small businesses. Meanwhile, down at the casino, you know, you've got $20 bills being brought in, and no one's following up on these things. And, you know, the money laundering industry is having a field day. So it doesn't make any sense. You know, government's got to get its priorities straight.
Right, and I've gone into businesses and nightclubs as well. The place is dead. I mean, they're not doing anything to promote it. And yes, well, why isn't this place more popular? Oh, the owners are just using it for tax purposes. You know, so obviously it's being used for money laundering. They don't care.
Well, if Justin Trudeau doesn't recalibrate, they're gonna feel it in the Lower Mainland. The rest of Canada is kind of oblivious to what goes on in the Lower Mainland, to their detriment, I think. You know, this is one mistake that policymakers in Canada do. They ignore what is happening on the West Coast. You know, Brian Mulroney, and when they were running again on free trade in 1988, Eastern Canada was fixated on free trade, and so it should have been. But in British Columbia, there was a big fight going on about the GST. We picked up on it here first. Now, the Conservative Party totally ignored the message that British Columbia was sending about the GST, and we know what happened to the Conservative Party in the next election. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not opposed to GST. I'm just saying there was a message that was being sent in British Columbia that Central Canada ignored to their political peril.
Well, and don't forget too, British Columbia organized a very difficult to pass referendum to kill the HST. So that's how we felt about it.
Well, that's right. And, you know, it's not just Ottawa policymakers that can get the pulse of British Columbians wrong. Our own provincial politicians have done a good job of that as well. But look, you know, there's a lot of good things that are going on in Canada. I'm fairly disappointed on the way the government's handling small business. You know, if we can get back on track, I think it's doing a decent job on the NAFTA file. We don't know what's going on, but we seem to be doing well there. And the Canadian stock market, you know, is reacting very well.
And we'll talk about that, Ted, right after the break.
Hi, I'm Douglas Mason, President and CEO of Rainy Mountain Royalty Corp., RMO on the TSX Venture Exchange. Rainy Mountain's Brunswick property is located in the Ridout Shear Zone in Ontario, with grab samples running as high as 32 grams per ton gold. A follow-up drill program to test the numerous targets located by recent groundwork will commence later this year. Please visit our website at rmroyalty.com.
Avon Resources Limited is a gold exploration company with significant projects in British Columbia, Saskatchewan, and the Yukon. Trading on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol ABN, and the pink symbol ABNAF. Surrounded by world-class gold deposits and mines, Avon's 23,000 hectares Forest Kerr Gold Project is located in the heart of the Golden Triangle in northwestern BC. For more information, visit us at avonresources.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Ted Dixon. As we said just before we had our break, that the Canadian stock market is picking up. What's behind it, and why is there finally some spirit going into the TSX?
Well, it's a stealth rally. I think Canadians are still in a bit of a disbelief. We hear discussions like we just had before the break about mistakes that the government is making. But the underlying fundamentals of the Canadian economy are doing much better, thanks in part to the strength of the Canadian workforce and the ingenuity of Canadians in the high-tech and energy sectors, for example, of the recovery in the energy sector. A lot has to do with, talent in the energy sector that's adapted to changing times. So we've seen an uptick in the energy sector, and we also see forestry stocks and paper stocks doing very well because you've got a determined industry that's pressing ahead in very tough times. We've got very seasoned paper and forest product companies. So the Canadian Insider Index, which tracks 50 stocks preferred by insiders, it's a mid-cap oriented index. As of this morning, Jim, it was only 1.5 points away from its all-time high. And when you include dividends on a total return basis, it is at an all-time high. Now, the TSX is a little further behind. I like to think that insiders tend to lead the broad market. The TSX is about 2%, I think, off its all-time high. But, we're getting there. And, we've been overshadowed by the U.S. market for the last few years. But a lot of that's been driven by funny monetary policy, that's juiced asset prices, just as we've seen real estate, get juiced in Canada. The United States has seen the stock market get juiced. Now, in Canada, the stock market rebound seems to be a little bit more fundamentally driven. It's being reflected by strong resource stock performance, both, in mining and now mining, paper, and now energy is coming back. Now, we'll see if energy can keep some momentum going, but certainly the oil patch has done a lot of hard work in adjusting to the new reality, and I think the stock market's starting to sort out the winners and losers there, and the winners are now starting to be rewarded. So it's a good time for the Canadian market. Of course, things can derail it. We could have a geopolitical event. We could have something out of Washington. NAFTA could break down. I mean, there's all sorts of risk, but that's always the case. You always have that in investing. The fact of the matter is, in the real estate market, people began to believe there's no risk. And in Toronto, I think that, that's been shown to be not a valid assumption. And, Vancouver is, of course, driven by a whole bunch of factors unrelated to fundamentals, including some of those money laundering, issues that we talked about a bit earlier. So the Canadian market will always have some risk, but it's been overlooked in terms of stocks. And, it's quietly making some new highs here. So those investors who have shunned it, because they think that the grass is greener on the other side in the United States. I think, it's time to at least take a hard look at what we have going for us here in Canada, and let's hope that the federal government doesn't blow it with its with its class warfare, small business agenda, which makes no sense.
One thing that American commentators, when I ask them why is it that the federal governments in Canada and the U.S. don't like small business, they said, well, specifically, if you look at Trump's cabinet, it's made up of billionaires. So, of course, billionaires get looked after. Large corporations have lobbyists to make sure their interests are looked after. But the guys who own, mom and dad who own the corner store or run the farm, they're not in Washington or Ottawa telling them, this is what we do. This is why we deserve tax breaks. This is what we do for the country. They're not there because they're busy working.
Well, as Mark Faber has pointed out many times, this whole... the whole Western democracy development over the last few decades has really benefited large corporations, because as you get more and more rules and more complicated tax systems, the mom and pop stores can't afford to deal with that, and they don't have the expertise to deal with complicated tax systems and rules. But Starbucks does, right? And that's why you've got these types of large retail conglomerates emerging, because they have the economies of scale to deal with all these tax issues. Now, look, Jim, let's say you want to start a logistics business in Vancouver. You want, help deliver milk to people, right? Okay, you want to do it through the Lower Mainland. Okay, so what do you have to do? You have to do how many municipalities and get permits. And you know what they're going to do when you go to the city hall to get your permit? They're going to say, Jim, stand in line, over there, and here's how it's going to cost. And we're going to send an inspector around, and when you open up your storefront, we'll see. And you better be earthquake proof. Okay, Amazon wants to come to town. What do we have? The red carpet. Everyone stops. Even the mayor on a trip to China found time to reply to media inquiries. But of course we want Amazon. Oh, please come Amazon. But if you're a small business person, you're told to stand in line, right? You take a number. So our system really has gotten out of whack, and that's why it's really disheartening to see the Trudeau Morneau priorities being focused on small business the way it has been, when there's so many other areas that they can be and should be tackling.
We'll have more with Ted Dixon right after this.
I'm Larry Ray, President and CEO of American Manganese, Inc., listed on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol AMY, A-M-Y, with proprietary patents in the U.S., China, and South Africa. Our focus is on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. China recently legislated the responsibility for recycling onto their electric vehicle manufacturers and importers. For more information, please visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Keep informed. Receive our weekly recap of thought-provoking articles, podcasts, and radio delivered to your inbox for free. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage, HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Ted Dixon. Ted, of course, the U.S. Department of Commerce has slapped an over 200% tariff on the C-Series aircraft made by Bombardier, claiming it's heavily subsidized by the Canadian government. Well, it was a bailout, no different than the U.S. government bailing out the auto companies or the big banks there after their crash. Why, 220%, 25% on an aircraft that Boeing doesn't even produce? I must say, the Prime Minister said a few days ago, if you're going to sue us, don't think we're going to buy your fighter jets.
Well, trying to compare aircraft and defense industry bailouts is kind of like, going to a dog show, trying to compare the different breeds. There's all different shapes and sizes of them, and to say that one bailout is illegal and another bailout is legal, this is the type of game you get into in these multi-billion-dollar industries, okay? So, on the one hand, I'm sympathetic with Bombardier in terms of what's happened with the Americans. It's just a little rich, to see what's going on there. On the other hand, this is their business that they play in. This is not, you know, this is not news to them. We shouldn't be naive. This goes on all the time. And we just happen to have a U.S. administration that's even more willing to use trade to, you know, trade rules to its own benefit. And we'll see how it plays out. You know, this tariff hasn't been implemented yet. And, you know, there's still a long way to go before it actually gets implemented. There'll be a lot of lobbying, horse jockeying, stuff behind the scenes that the, you know, typical Canadian isn't aware of, and probably, you know, just as well, because it's, you know, very, you know, very focused on a couple of key industries, important industries, you know, and, you know, aerospace is very important. It's just unfortunate that the way business is conducted nation to nation, you know, it's just not very competitive at all. It's a competition of lawyers and lobbyists and and then we have the actual products, the airplane products themselves,
that, right, and the C series is an international project. The wings are made in the UK, the engines are made in the US, so if the thing gets canceled or shut back, its American workers will suffer as well. Absolutely. I mean, that's how our trade between Canada and the U.S. works. The average object that's Canadian / U.S. made crosses the border 7 times before it's sold.
Well, eventually, you know, the narrative might switch back to that. You know, Trump has done a great job just focusing on the negative parts of trade, and that's the displacement of people who lose out. But you know, what's been forgotten is you know, the gains. Now look what's happening in the United States with in wake of the hurricanes. Well, we know that the assault on the Canadian softwood lumber industry has hurt workers in Canada. What is not has not been so clear is what the impact would be on Americans. But now it's starting to dawn on a few people. Oh, you know, lumber prices have gone up. Well, why is that? Well, because your government's restricting the flow of lumber into the country. Oh, well, maybe that's not such a smart thing. No, maybe it isn't, right? So the narrative will slowly change, although you will have many lobbyists and people who are, you know, who profit from the status quo to try and douse that narrative from taking hold. But people, you know, do have, you know, do see what's going on, and eventually, common sense tends to prevail, but just getting to that point is not necessarily fast and can be quite frustrating. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the softwood lumber dispute now unfolds, because right now, you know, we've had the pain in Canada. Well, now the pain is being felt in the United States. So let's see how that one plays out.
Ted, anything else you wanted to add to today's show?
Well, just keep your eye on the Canadian Insider Index. You can visit CanadianInsider.com. We have it in real time. The all-time high was 12/17/11, and we're knocking on that door. Let's see if we break through by the time we have our chat next 2 weeks.
Ted, thanks a lot for chatting with us.
Great to be back.
His website, CanadianInsider.com. You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio. If you have any questions for the show or our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. I'm Jim Goddard. Thanks for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.